It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the first post-Super Bowl off-season, I guess, edition of the Fantasy Feast Eaton podcast. He is Evan Silva, at Evan Silva on Twitter. He is the master of all he oversees at rotoworld.com, which is an amazing site, not just for fantasy football, but for me. The blurbs, Evan's free agents ranked already, the contract stuff. If rotoworld.com is not one of your bookmarks, then I'm not sure we can be friends. My name is Ross Tucker. I played in the NFL for 7 years. It was an awesome temp job in my 20s. Now I've got, I don't know, I guess another temp job, hopefully not that temp, as a media mogul, if you will. Got a bunch of different gigs, having a great time, really going full bore into fantasy football now, loving every minute of it. RossTucker.com is the hub for this podcast. There's also all the feeds there, so however you want to listen to this, you can listen over at RossTucker.com, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, any way you can find a podcast, it'll be there. This is your show, and this offseason is your offseason. So keep sending emails, rtfp at rostucker.com. We should get to some each and every episode. Tweets, you can tweet me at RossTuckerNFL. I told you about Evan. Brian's at RTF Podcast. Any topics you want us to hit on in the offseason, let us know. We will get into it. Remember this, fantasy championships are won in the offseason. Just like Malcolm Butler was prepared as the fifth cornerback for that moment, not knowing if he would even play it down, you must prepare yourself for the draft so you can embarrass all of your buddies and be able to talk junk all season long. That's what it's really about, isn't it? Being able to make fun of your friends. I mean, isn't that what life's about? Being able to feel like you're better than your friends. Let's be honest. Evan, you are the man. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? I'm doing well.
So I want to get into the Super Bowl with you a little bit. That'll be our double down segment a little bit later. But I feel like since it's the first podcast of the off season, and the real guys that are really into fantasy football year round as much as anybody are the dynasty guys, I wanted to bring on one of the true dynasty experts so that everybody gets another idea of exactly what these leagues are all about, the different iterations, in case they want to dive into one this offseason or to change their redraft league into a dynasty league of some sort or a keeper league or whatever. So let's bring them in.
Next meal.
Well, as promised, in our constant effort to bring you the best and brightest across all of the various fantasy football platforms, we are now joined by Jarrett Behar. Jarrett, did I pronounce that right?
You did. Thank you very much.
Nice. Nailed it. He is at Eye of the Gator on Twitter. He's the host of the DLF Dynasty Podcast. That's DynastyLeagueFootball.com, the official podcast of that website. You can find that at DynastyPodcast.com and at DLF Podcast. These guys are hardcore into Dynasty football all year round. Carl Safchick, Eric Harder are on that with him as well. What's Eye of the Gator about, by the way, your Twitter handle?
I'm a Florida Gator. So just kind of something I came up with, a little play on Eye of the Tiger, trying to be a little playful with my Gator alumni status.
Nice. Okay, I get it now. That makes sense. I'm a big Rocky guy, so Eye of the Tiger is big with me. By the way, there's a kid from my hometown that I helped very much through the recruiting process that's at Florida now. Do you follow them really closely?
I do. I have to say, I unfortunately have let them fall a little bit behind, you know, not being as good the last couple of years. But I'm generally familiar with the team. I'm excited for National Signing Day today.
Yeah, well, his name is Alex Anzalone. He'll be a true junior next year. He played a little bit goal line stuff, had some plays on special teams. We'll see if he gets a chance to start next year. But he's from good old Wyomissing, Pennsylvania. I've known him since he was like 5 years old. Anyway, we had your boy Eric Dickens on. It might have been back in July or August when we first started this bad boy. But I wanted to get another Dynasty guy back again. Now that the season is over, now that we're looking forward, and obviously people can play the daily stuff in other sports, and people will start having their drafts, you know, for the year-round leagues, for the redraft leagues, whenever that is, August, some in July, which is crazy, whenever. But I feel like, as much as anything, this is really your time to shine, the Dynasty guys. So I just wanted to go over again for the listeners, and for me, really, exactly how Dynasty football works and the different iterations of it. Because some people I know are like, you know, following high school recruits and following signing day as it relates to their Dynasty team. To me, this is insanity. So why don't you just start by giving a brief tutorial on exactly how Dynasty works, and then I've got some more specific questions.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. And it's true. And no matter how complicated your Dynasty League is, we've got you covered at Dynasty League Football. Some of our guys are tweeting out as the National Signing Day recruits are signing which guys they like to be.
Hey, Jarrett,
professionals.
Yes. Jarrett, I noticed how right there you threw a Dynasty League Football in there. Please don't plug stuff. We don't like when people plug things like at Ross Tucker NFL on this podcast or mention things like PokerShop.com or DraftKings. So just be very careful about mentioning Dynasty League Football, because we wouldn't ever, DraftKings, want anyone, PokerShop, to mention anything like that while they're talking.
Right, absolutely. And I'll remember that when I tweet you at Ross Tucker NFL that I won't
nice!
Do that.
Nice! You've got the eye of the gator, bro.
All right, well, so basically, though, you can play on any level. So, you know, the very basic one is a keeper league, where some people might be familiar, where you keep one or two or, you know, as many as you want from year to year. To full-on Dynasty, I play in some leagues where we have 26 roster spots and you keep all 26 going into the next year. And then you just hold a rookie draft, usually about a four-round rookie draft, where you pick the rookies that are coming in that get drafted in the NFL and sometimes the undrafted free agents. And the rules can really run the gamut from something as simplistic as, hey, pick nine guys to keep, and then we'll draft the rest of them plus the rookies the next year, to full-on salary cap contract leagues where the players have specific salaries, contracts that expire, and very complicated rules that have to do with how those contracts roll over from year to year. So it's really a very flexible format, so you could kind of dip your feet into a keeper league, or you could start with a very basic Dynasty League where you're keeping everyone and just doing rookie drafts, and then as you get more comfortable with the format, adding more complex sets of rules as you go along. So it's really a very flexible format to kind of fit anybody's level of play.
So basically, you can go anywhere from having a keeper league with just one guy you get to keep to all the way basically keeping your entire roster.
Yeah, it's absolutely right. And, you know, if you're in a good league with good people and a good commissioner, it really is a ton of fun.
So I was told by somebody that I like that eventually all the really serious fantasy football players and the studs end up in Dynasty because of the nature of it. A, is that true? And B, if that is true, does that mean Evan Silva's not really a stud? Because I don't think he does that.
Well, Evan definitely is a stud for many reasons, but I think he does play Dynasty. I think I have seen him tweet about the Roto World Dynasty League over there.
But is that true, Evan?
Yeah, I'm in two full-blown Dynasty leagues, Ross. You know, get your facts straight. Go
ahead, there you go, Evan. By the way, Evan's here. I like to hog the questions early, especially when I'm trying to make sure I totally grasp and understand it. So explain then why this is something that I should get into, or some of our listeners should get into or consider if they haven't already.
Well, you know, it really brings up all the different nuances of the game. A perfect example of this is Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson is obviously a top wide receiver in the league, and he's going to be one of the top wide receivers picked next year. But what we're seeing in Dynasty Leagues, where for the last couple of years he was thought of as the clear number one receiver, maybe the number one overall Dynasty player, now as he's starting to get a little bit older, you're starting to see those values fluctuate. So that those nuances where you move from Dynasty to redraft, I think, take someone who's just, you know, kind of in a redraft league, they're just kind of going through the motions, it's starting to maybe not be as challenging as it otherwise could be. Just even the subtle nuance of moving to a keeper or a dynasty league starts to change those player valuations. Also, you know, I know you're a Princeton guy, you're into finance. People that like to do that, they think of buying these players as buying shares. So when you start to kind of combine fantasy football with, you know, stock trading, and it even gets into the daily league concepts of player valuations, it really makes it a more complicated and like I said, nuanced game. So it really kind of piques people's intellectual curiosity, I find.
That is awesome. Now, tell me about the guys that are actually following signing day, because I don't really understand. I get everything you said. Let's say you're in a full-blown dynasty league. Why would you be looking at signing day if you don't actually draft these guys until after they're drafted by their teams?
Well, one of the more serious iterations of dynasty leagues is to have a developmental league. So you have your dynasty league, and then a few leagues that I'm in, you actually have usually a one-round developmental draft as well, where you can pick one guy as long as he's enrolled at a college, and then you can kind of hold that guy on your, say, taxi squad until he gets to the NFL, and then you get the rights to him. For example, a guy, you know, I tend to do pretty well if I pick at the end of the draft, but a guy I got at the end of my developmental drafts last year was Devontae Parker from Louisville, and now it looks like he's going to be a top rookie pick this year, maybe the second or third wide receiver in this class. So that's someone that I followed basically through his college career and then was able to draft in the developmental leagues. And you see with people coming out early, some of these guys, for example, Leonard Fournette from LSU, was so heralded, he was taken as a freshman in these developmental leagues, and people are going to hold him until he's draft eligible. So with that wrinkle of the developmental leagues and the shift towards taking these guys young, people are already on top of these guys that are coming out of high school and committing today.
So let me ask you guys both this. It feels like both in the redraft leagues and dynasty, keeper, whatever, it feels like there are so many different variations of fantasy football. Do you think that helps the business, helps the growth of the industry, or hurts it?
I don't think anything's slowing down
the growth of fantasy football. This is one of the best industries, I think, to be involved in America.
Yeah, and to piggyback off that, I don't think it hurts it. What I think it does is I think it makes it accessible to every single person, depending on what level and style they want to play. Some people start playing Dynasty, and then they crave for more, and then they go into developmental leagues or full salary cap contract leagues, or you know, some leagues that have salary caps that mimic the NFL standard. It basically allows people to be GM juniors, and in some leagues, almost full-blown GMs.
Yeah, so I guess for me, since this was my first year really getting into it, it just feels like at times, man, it's a lot, you know. But you guys have been doing it for years, so you get it, you understand it, and you know, okay, there's this league. You guys, because you've been doing it for so long, are able to better, you know, itemize it, if you will, for lack of a better word, the different things that are out there. But it just seems to me like if you really sat down and went over all the different variations of fantasy football, I mean, what are there, over 100 at this point, if you really thought about all the different leagues that are out there?
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, even if you're playing daily fantasy, I mean, you have to adjust across the board for the different rules and salary cap settings that they have. And the same is true unless your redrafts are really just the same. So, you know, I think it's just maybe that flexibility is a little bit more magnified. But I think it's probably true across all formats of Dynasty.
Is it correct, Jared, to say most Dynasty leagues will hold their draft shortly after the NFL draft?
You know, my leagues are actually spread out, so some of them do hold them, you know, say in May, right after the draft. I prefer when it's a little bit later into the year, into August. You like to see how the players develop. And in fact, in one league where the draft was August, I was able to steal Odell Beckham towards the end of the first round because everyone was all, you know, blowing a hamstring tweak out of proportion. So it can create some value and give you some more time to compile information. I always believe information is power, so I'd rather wait as long as I can to get the most information.
Interesting.
Ross, I feel like you kind of have a tough time comprehending this because you have like so many gigs, you know, I mean, you're a father, you do all these podcasts, you know, you work for NBC, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You do play by play. I mean, you stand on the sidelines, you know, it's not for everybody, I don't think. But if you, you know, if you work a 9-to-5, obviously, if you do full-time fantasy, if you, you know, if you're a 30-year-old single guy without kids, I mean, it probably makes a lot more sense for people like that who can invest, you know, a few hours each day into this sort of thing. But, you know, I don't think it's for everybody. I'd put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think I can see how it is for the hardcore people that are really into it. Because to me, I actually think the daily stuff is awesome because it's pretty easy. You know, you do it that mm-hmm. Sunday or that Saturday. For this, man, I mean, you're talking about developmental leagues that people have. I mean, that's just very, very, very involved. You're right. I can't imagine. I mean, Jared, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the guys that are doing the developmental leagues and looking at the high school kids, and then I just can't imagine that they have, you know, big families or a lot of other. It just seems like it's very time consuming. I guess I'll just stop it at there.
Well, that is true. I mean, now with the internet and the way the information is available, like, for example, Dynasty League Football now has a Dynasty Scout section of the website that's just generated to scouting the college players. So there's, even if you want to play those kinds of leagues, but you don't have the time to do the research yourself, there's plenty of resources that you can use to kind of supplement that. So that cuts down on the time commitment. But, yeah, a lot of people just love it so much that they want to be as immersed as possible.
All right, so I got a good feel for it again now. I get it. It's all the way from just having one keeper all the way to a full-blown dynasty. You can have the developmental league. Totally got it. So now, Evan, ask some cool strategic questions that I'm evidently too ignorant or too busy to come up with.
Well, first thing I would say is that those developmental leagues, I mean, that's even too much for me. You know, I don't do any of those. I don't even know if I'd want to do any of those. But, you know, I mean, and those are pretty fairly uncommon. I think that the full-blown dynasty league is becoming increasingly common, where you keep the players all year round, and you know the keeper leagues have been going on for, you know, decades. So you know they're all different, and you know you can choose, you know, whichever one you like. With Jared, I would just like to discuss a few specific players. You know, maybe you can intertwine some strategy into it, but how are you feeling about guys that are free agents right now? You know, let's start with like Roy Helu. Maybe we could talk about Ryan Matthews, Mark Ingram. I mean, how are you feeling about those guys? You know, do you think that they would be good dynasty trade targets? Do you think that they're just kind of, you're just waiting and hoping? You know, Rob Hausler, I know that you've kind of been holding out hope for him. I have been as well. You know, we're both dynasty owners of Rob Hausler. But, you know, could you discuss some of those free agents? Maybe they're still a little bit young and they might come into opportunity and they might not.
Yeah, I think Helu is an interesting guy that you mentioned. This is a good time of year to start looking at these free agents. Guys, you know, years ago, right, Darren Sproles was the guy where he was essentially free because of the way that San Diego used him. And when he went over to New Orleans, he rocketed up, especially in PPR leagues. I don't think that Helu has that kind of upside, but that's the kind of guy that you could look at, someone who could go in and be that third down passing back, catch a lot of balls, and have some value in a PPR league. And, you know, I don't know that he's essentially free, but you could probably get him for a late-round rookie pick. And I always try to err on the side of someone that's actually done something in this league versus, you know, late rookie picks are worse than almost lottery tickets. So he's a guy that I like. Stephen Ridley is another interesting free agent coming off that ACL injury. You know, he should be able to get back, and he might find a place with some opportunity. I think he's a free agent that you could get pretty cheap that I'd like to have on the back end of my roster. You know, Ingram, I feel like it's so uncertain, and the price that you're going to have to pay based on how he played this year, if he ends up in a bad situation, I feel like there's probably less upside there. Brian Matthews might have a little bit more upside, although he's starting to get up there in age. Hausler is a guy who I think is free, and he's probably on waiver wires in a lot of leagues. He's a pass-catching tight end, but, you know, you and I agree, and there's a couple other members of the Rob Hausler fan club that think that if he landed in the right situation, he could have a ton of value. So I think that's another interesting one to look at.
Awesome. How about some younger players with kind of question marks about them? Jerick McKinnon would be one. Cody Latimer would be another. And Dante Moncrief, what would your takes on those players be?
You know, McKinnon is interesting to me. I mean, I think he's got a shot to be the Vikings running back of the future, but it's a question to me what they're going to do with Peterson. And I feel like he's one of those guys that the people that already have him aren't going to sell him on the cheap. So I don't know. You know, guys like that where there's question marks, what you're looking to do is you're looking to acquire them at a discount based on those question marks. And I don't know that McKinnon is going to offer you too much of a discount based on that. Latimer, on the other hand, I think because he was so quiet this year, he's the kind of guy that I love to target. Someone that I really liked before the draft. I liked his situation where he ended up. And then he didn't really do much. So where he was getting drafted in the late first, early second of rookie drafts last year, you know, if you could get him for a late second, early third this year from a owner who thinks, oh, well, you know, they didn't really use him and who knows what's going to happen with Peyton Manning, I think he offers a tremendous amount of upside for something like that. And, you know, Moncrief is another guy. Maybe you can get him at a discount based on people concerned that the Colts just sided Daron Carter, but I haven't seen any recent trades of him, so I don't know where people are necessarily pricing him at. But if you could acquire him at a discount, I mean, I think he looked good, and you know, everyone knew he was raw coming in out of Mississippi, and you know, they didn't use him. He doesn't have the full route tree, but I think they're looking for him to develop. So if you can get him at a discount, he's definitely another guy that I like.
Anything else, Evan, or are you good?
Let's talk about Christine Michael, a player with, you know, an incredible amount of talent, but was extremely injury prone at Texas A&M. Lost his starting job, I believe, as a senior. And the Seahawks took him in the second round. They were obviously very high on him, but he has not gotten, you know, with Marshawn Lynch there, he has just not gotten any opportunity. So what, and a Christine Michael, dynasty owner has probably become very frustrated with him over the last 2 years. How are you kind of, you know, what would your approach be with him if you are someone who likes to bet on talent or if you are a Christine Michael owner right now?
I'll kind of start with the second one. If I'm an owner right now, I'm going after the Lynch owner and I'm trying to get what I can out of him. I'm not convinced that Lynch isn't going to be a Seahawk next year. And, I mean, after that, you're not looking. Christian Michael's rookie contract is up in 2016. So what are you really looking at, that they're going to have 1 year of him if Lynch comes back? So and Lynch has been pretty durable. So if I own him right now, I'm trying to see what I can get from the Lynch owner. I mean, the problem is it's early, and you have to bet on this uncertainty. But that's the first thing that I'm doing. If I'm looking to acquire him, you know, I don't know. I've never been a big Christine Michael guy. Everyone was kind of betting on this opportunity, but Lynch doesn't seem to be slowing down. I mean, if you can pick him up for a second-round pick, I think that there's no reason not to do that because the upside is there, and maybe Lynch doesn't come back or maybe he gets hurt and Michael gets his opportunity. But it's been a while now, and the guy didn't get one carry in the Super Bowl, and they've been favoring Robert Turbin as the change of pace back. I mean, to me, that doesn't bode well for his opportunity going forward. I don't know what your thoughts of that on, Evan.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much on point. I mean, you know, he's a player who has a lot of wow running ability. And, you know, I think that that's about, you know, all that he is right now. He's just a bunch of theoretical talent, and theoretical talent doesn't get you W's. He's going to have to get an opportunity to help you at all. And, you know, he's, like you said, he's under contract for two more years. He's behind Marshawn Lynch on the depth chart. He's also behind Robert Turbin. So it's been a frustrating couple of years, and it looks like it's going to be a third straight frustrating year for Michael.
Well, Jarrett, we really appreciate the time, man. That was awesome. We'll definitely have you on again, especially as we get around NFL draft time, since that's kind of your guys are looking at that so closely. Not that everybody else isn't as well, but really, if you're in a dynasty league, that's all you can look at, right? I mean,
yeah, it's our Christmas, man.
You can't really look at the veterans as much.
Oh, you know what? We should ask him one more question about this rookie class. Because he probably knows, because Jared, you probably know like average draft positions, ADPs for where guys are going right now. Who are the top five guys for the 2015 draft rookie class?
All right, well, you've got, you know, obviously in terms of running backs, you've got, Torrey Gurley from Georgia, and you've got Melvin Gordon. The running back Todd Gurley from Georgia, and Melvin Gordon from Wisconsin. And then you're looking at Amari Cooper, the wide receiver from Alabama, who looks like he's going to be the number one wide receiver in this class. Devontae Parker, who I mentioned before, I think is also up there. And then you've got Kevin White, the wide receiver from West Virginia, is starting to make some noise, and I think he's riding up the rankings. And then I'll just throw a couple more running backs. You've got Tevin Coleman from Indiana and Jay Ajayi from Boise State. And then Yeldon's in there a little bit, but I've seen him falling off as of late.
It's interesting. I love Yeldon his first couple of years, but it just feels
Me too.
People aren't as high on him for whatever reason. Jarrett, you're the man at Eye of the Gator is how you can follow Jarrett. And, of course, he's got the awesome Dynasty League Football podcast that you guys should check out as well. Thanks so much, Jarrett.
All right, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
That guy is a stud. In fact, he's such a stud that he probably wins a lot of money at DraftKings.com, America's favorite daily fantasy sports site, where you can win massive cash prizes every single day. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. Play whenever you want. It's like a brand new season every time you play. Just pick your sport. College, pro hoops, hockey, golf. They got MMA. Basically, they have daily fantasy for every sport now. So you guys can make these other sports that, let's be honest, aren't as cool as football, make them a little bit cooler. Make them give them a chance to be a little closer to being as cool as the NFL. By playing DraftKings, you can cash in like one of the 14 millionaires. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code FEAST to play for free. You could win your slice of $1 billion in prizes being awarded this year. Enter FEAST to play for free now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. It never ends. I know, Evan, you're constantly playing. You play daily hoops, right?
Oh, yeah, man. Every day.
And it probably makes the NBA and basketball a lot more interesting for you.
Oh, man, I know, like, everything about the NBA.
Are you joking or serious?
I'm serious. I know a lot about the NBA.
Just because you play daily every day?
Yeah, I mean, I started playing, like, a week and a half ago, and I know, like, every player in the NBA.
Very interesting. Speaking of interesting, it sounds to me like you're doubling down on your NBA knowledge. Well, this week's Double Down Fantasy Football segment is presented by PokerShop.com, your go-to destination for anything to make game night a great night, whether that is chips, cards, table games, or great stuff for your man cave. Evan, let's double down on the Super Bowl. We didn't touch on it yet, really. Let's double down a little bit on it. From a fantasy perspective, what did you notice? What stood out to you? What do you think can potentially translate into next season?
Well, the biggest development was Chris Matthews making plays down the football field as a big wide receiver who can, you know, go up over defensive backs and make catches against them. And, you know, I don't think that that necessarily means that Chris Matthews is going to be a star in the NFL or for the Seahawks, but it gave you a little bit of a glimpse at what Russell Wilson could do with that kind of a wide receiver, you know, a guy who can, you know, make big plays down the field. You see Jermaine Kearse do it every once in a while. He's not a very good receiver. You know, Doug Baldwin is an excellent slot receiver. And then the Seahawks used a second round pick on Paul Richardson, but he tore his, he wasn't very good. And then he tore his ACL and I believe his MCL late in the season. So he may be a total non-factor for 2015. But, you know, if Russell Wilson gets a big playmaking wide receiver who can make plays in the red zone and, you know, go up over the top of defensive backs and, you know, make plays during those scrambling drills, during those scramble drills that the Seahawks, it's a big part of the Seahawks offense. You know, I think that a guy could really take off. And I also think that that would elevate the production of Russell Wilson himself. So I think that Chris Matthews is definitely a guy who was owned in like no dynasty leagues, zero dynasty leagues, but he will be picked up this offseason. But I think that the greater takeaway is that the Seahawks are probably going to go out and make acquiring a legitimate guy like that a priority this offseason. And I think that would be a really big addition for their offense.
Do you feel like that's what they're going to do? Or do you feel like they think that they might have that guy on the cheap? I mean, this is a good Patriot secondary, and he was lighting them up in his first really extended playing time. Why would you go out and, to use your words, go out and get somebody, whether it's free agency or the draft, when you might have one for the minimum?
Because you know what NFL people will say about that is that that was one game. You know, Chris Matthews.
It's also the only game.
Yeah, no, it's a big game.
No, but I mean, it's the only time he's really gotten the opportunity. It's not like the guy was getting a lot of reps every other game and not doing anything.
They signed him to a reserve future contract in February of 2014. It took him, you know, almost an entire calendar year for him to, you know, even get on the field for the Seahawks. So my guess is that the Seahawks front office won't be like, oh, we got our guy. They'll be like, well, Chris Matthews, you know, he may be a guy that we can, you know, that we can incorporate into our offense in future years, but we're not going to neglect the wide receiver position, which is clearly a need, just because Chris Matthews made four catches in one game, you know. So it's not like they're going to release him. They're going to bring him back, and he's going to come back, and he's going to compete for a roster spot, and hey, maybe he'll win a starting job. But they're also going to bring in, I think, a guy like that who kind of profiles as a legitimate, you know, big wide receiver who can make plays down the football field. Because if you look at Chris Matthews' profile, you know, he doesn't have a great vertical. He doesn't, you know, run the 40 particularly fast. He made a few big plays in a really big game, and that's awesome. And he's going to come back and be a part of the Seahawks, but the Seahawks aren't going to be like, oh, well, we can build around Chris Matthews now because of four catches.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that you're a hater. You just don't want to get on the Chris Matthews hype train. You're a hater. Okay. No, you might be right. I just think, first of all, they're not going to do it in free agency because they don't have the money. You know, they have it enough time with Marshawn's contract, Byron Maxwell, Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner. So they're not going to pay for it.
Those types of players don't hit free agency very often anyways. I think that they're going to try to get a guy like Jaylen Strong or, you know, maybe even Kevin White in the draft.
Right, that's my point. It's going to be a guy in the draft. They're not going to spend money in free agency because they can't. Right. It's going to be a guy in the draft, no matter who, what guys are free agent wide receivers this year. The other thing I took away from the Super Bowl, do you think more and more teams are going to put more and more value into quick wide receivers? I mean, you just look at Edelman, Amendola, even Shane Vereen. It just seems like if you're quick – you're good against man-to-man coverage underneath. Those are easy throws for quarterbacks. And if you're smart, too, then you know where to sit down against the zones. I don't know. I feel like the league's already going that way. I know everybody wants the guy you're talking about, the 6'4", Megatron, whatever, Dez Bryant. But those guys are hard to find, and those guys are expensive. I think more and more teams might start to try to grab these – let's call them PPR guys, right? You know, the Edelmans, the Amendolas,
yeah,
that are PPR and yard after catch guys.
I definitely think that they have a place in the league. You know, I mean, they're extensions of the running game. They will move the chains for you. There's not a lot of guys like that, though, I don't think, who can be really durable in that role. A lot of those guys end up injury prone. Because, I mean, they take a lot of hits, man, from safeties that are way bigger than them, from linebackers. I mean, they're running over the middle against linebackers who weigh 250 pounds, and those guys are, you know, 5'9" and 180 or 195 or whatever. You know, that's one of the things that I think made Wes Welker so special, was that he not only now people think of him as, you know, concussion prone, et cetera, but during his prime, he was durable, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he could stay healthy in that role. And really, those are kind of dink and dunk wide receivers. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But, you know, some offensive coaches, I think, they want to throw the ball down the field. And so they're looking for those kind of wide receivers. Whereas, you know, the Patriots, they kind of want yards after catch machines, you know, because that kind of plays to Tom Brady's strengths. Especially at this stage of his career.
Well, that was your Double Down segment presented by PokerShop.com, the go-to destination for anything you need to make game night a great night. Use code Ross when checking out for a 10% discount. Let's do an email, Bri.
Ever wanted to ask an NFL player a question?
And Evan.
Well, here's your chance. It's time to ask Ross.
And Evan. Email address, rtfp@rostucker.com. Put fantasy in the subject line, if you will. Meanish Bulla helps us out. Hopefully we can get to at least one email every week. We're already at 40 minutes here. We're rolling today. What do you got, Bri?
All right, dear Ross and Evan, new listener, love the podcast. Now, we're all concerned with injuries, especially at the running back position. Anyone can look back and see a player's injury history. Do you have a different perspective from your time on the O-line on what makes a particular player or offensive system or blocking scheme more prone to running back injuries? Or would you say it's just bad luck or heavy workload contributing to the running back injuries? Thanks. That's from Ross in Memphis. And P.S., nice name.
Yeah, nice name, dude. I think that's really cool that your parents named you after me. Oh, man. That was bad. Sorry, buddy. By the way, Ross was a totally cool name until that dude from Friends started using it. That doofus on – remember the TV show Friends, Evan, or are you too young?
Yeah, I mean, I know who you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, Ross. I was so mad when that guy was using my name because
Ross
is supposed to be
– He got the babe, though, man. Wasn't he with
Jennifer Aniston.
What's her name? Jennifer Aniston, yeah.
Yeah, but he got her in a doofus way, dude. He's supposed to be – if your name's Ross, the character you're most similar to is Mr. Incredible, maybe Meathead Rob Lowe. I mean, you're not Ross from Friends, okay? In terms of Ross in Memphis, again, Ross, please thank your parents for naming you after me. I would say – number one thing is genetics. Some guys are just injury prone and get hurt more than others. Number two is workload. It's a mathematical formula. If the more touches you get, the more likely you are to get injured. I don't know if I think it's a particular scheme. You know, I mean, I think more than a particular scheme, I think it's a running style thing. Look at the guys that it feels like nobody ever really gets a good shot on them. You know, it's very rare you see, like, Shady McCoy get lit up. It just seems like guys never really get be able to come and unload on them. Then that's not what DeMarco Murray's like. I feel like DeMarco Murray takes a lot of shots because of his running style. So I would look at it, number one, what is their history going back through high school, college, et cetera. DeMarco Murray's, by the way, is not very good. Number two, what was their recent workload? Because DeMarco Murray, you got to feel like that's a ticking time bomb, right? I mean, as many touches he got in his history, it's probably a ticking time bomb. Number three, their running style. Watch guys in a course of a couple games, see how many really, really big shots they take. Anyway, those are my thoughts, Evan. How about yours?
There is a website called injurypredictor.com, and it's got a Twitter handle at Injury Predictor, and they delve all into this type of thing, and they pretty much say the same thing as you, aside from the running style part of what you were saying. But there's a direct correlation to how many carries can a guy handle. Also, the longer that a player is in a league, the less likely he is actually to get injured. Those players just kind of they know how to avoid injury. I mean, every running back gets injured, but you look at some of the older RBs that, I mean, they last. Frank Gore, Fred Jackson, and one of the things that Injury Predictor also will tell you is that young running backs are the most likely to get injured in their first and second years. But I would check out that website. They do a lot of great research on that. They actually had a bunch of columns in our draft guide, which Oliver Gold actually, you know, if you listen to old podcasts, Oliver Gold used our draft guide to win one of the highest stakes fantasy leagues in the world. And there was a ton of Injury Predictor information in there. And I mean, they were very, very accurate. The last 2 years, you can look at their data.
That more resources, more information. If you got nothing else from today's Fantasy Feast, you know about injurypredictor.com, and it's at Injury Predictor on Twitter, Evan.
Yep.
Look, even that guy is getting a plug, and we never even had him on the show. Maybe we should have him on the show at some point. That'll do it, though, for this week's 45-minute beastly edition of the Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast. You got the emails. Please, please, please spread the word via social media. That really helps. Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL, at Evan Silva. Facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. You can download us multiple times on multiple devices. That's appreciated when you're bored or watching TV. iTunes rankings, comments, much appreciated if you can. I'm stuffed. Have a great week, everybody. We'll be back next week.
Thanks for downloading the Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and the Even Money Podcast as well, all of which are available at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
When you're ready to buy a car, TrueCar is changing car buying forever. Yes, TrueCar helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Everyday TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, download the TrueCar mobile app or go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. With TrueCar, you can save time, save money, and never overpay. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.
What's up, you mutts? It's Kevin Clancy, better known as KFC from BarstoolSports.com, the most popular guy website online. Now we're doing the Barstool Network, which is everything that's great about Barstool, brought to you in podcast form. We've got two podcasts. Mail Time is for the average working guy in the cubicle looking to escape his day with relatable stories of 9-to-5 life. KFC Radio is like every drunken guy's conversation with his friends, but with me and your favorite other Barstool personalities.
Download it now at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.